In your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 1. In 1 Peter 1, 5, the Bible says, and is talking to saved people, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoiced, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Heavenly Father, again, we just look to you for the instructions here from your word. We know there's always some blessings to be found. We know there's always some things that we need to help us to grow and to straighten some things out in our Christian walk. So we look to you today, Lord, and ask for your guidance, for your instruction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, an amazing statement is found in the verses that we just read there. Your faith, look at verse number 7, your faith, much more precious than of gold. Your faith, much more precious than of gold. That's, think about that, that's remarkable. But look at verse number 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Turn for a moment to Psalm number 49. Psalm number 49. And then we'll go right back to 1 Peter. But Psalm 49 and verse number 6. Psalm 49, 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. If you had this morning all the gold in the world, and do you realize, I don't know if you know this, but if all the gold that was produced worldwide in the last 500 years was melted down, did you know it could be compressed in a single cube that was just 50 feet or about 15 meters wide? That, why is it called a precious metal? Well, there's not much of it. Not much of it. Why is it called a precious metal? It's very rare. And why is it called a precious metal? It's very hard to find. Why is it called a precious metal? Well, because men would exchange just about anything or everything that they've got in the world just to get their hands on some of it. The Bible says, if you had all the gold that God ever buried in this earth, it would not be precious enough. It would not be valuable enough to redeem your soul from hellfire. You could not buy your soul with money. You could not buy your soul with silver or gold. Your soul is so precious. Your soul is so valuable that the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There was nothing on the earth, in the earth, under the earth, that was precious enough, valuable enough in the eyes of God to use in order to purchase your soul and buy it back from sin and death and hell. What was the purchase price? Look again at 1 Peter chapter 1. Now look at verse number 18. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed. I'm glad the Bible doesn't stop right there, aren't you? For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. All right, well then, with what were we redeemed? Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. All right. All the gold that God ever buried in this earth is not sufficient to pay the price required to redeem your soul from hell, my soul from hell. But God found a commodity more valuable. God found a commodity so precious. God found a commodity of such great, unbelievable, unfathomable importance that that item and that item only was deemed sufficient to redeem the souls of men from hellfire. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can save from sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can pay the penalty for sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can redeem the soul of a lost man, the soul of a lost woman, from eternal damnation. Now, if that were all that the Bible said, then we could rejoice this morning, sit back, relax, take it easy, pretend we're already in heaven, because glory to God, Jesus Christ died on that cross. He did shed His blood for the sins of the whole world, 1 Peter chapter 2. He died for all men, Titus chapter 2 tells us that. Died for every man, we're told in Hebrews chapter 2. And if the precious blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to redeem the souls of men, the precious souls of men, then hallelujah! Everybody's going to heaven. No, there's another precious. There's another precious in our passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7. We read that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Thank God Jesus shed His precious blood to pay the redemption price for man. But God says, you have something that is precious. And God is looking for an exchange. God has the precious blood of Jesus Christ, able, willing, ready to save your soul. God has that precious blood, but there's something God is looking for. An exchange, the Bible speaks of. What do you have to offer God? You say, well, I don't have any gold. Gold won't do it. You say, I don't have any silver. Silver wouldn't do it either. Well, I don't have any good works to give Him. Well, guess what? Your works are the reason you're in the mess that you're in. What does God consider so precious that if you will give that to Him, He will give you the precious, sin-cleansing, soul-saving, redeeming blood of His own Son, the Lamb of God. Faith. Faith. Not a baptismal certificate, not proof of church membership, not a tithe receipt, not a list of good deeds that you did, signed by a number of witnesses. Faith. Faith. What God counts precious is that you believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What God counts precious is that you cut through all of the lies and all of the false religion and all of the self-esteem and all of the self-confidence and all the self-will, and you put your trust and your confidence in Jesus Christ. That's what counts with God, and nothing else counts with God. You say, well, how do you know that? Look at verse number 9. Receiving the end of your faith. What do I get in exchange for my faith? Even the salvation of your souls. You say, preacher, I thought we were saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. There's nothing else that can save you. But everyone is not automatically saved because Jesus shed His blood. You must put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now come to Hebrews chapter 11. Just a page or two back towards the front of your Bible there. Hebrews chapter number 11. Verse number 1 should still be very familiar to you. We recently studied there. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Where is the proof there is a God? No proof offered in all the Bible. Believe it or die. Where is the proof that Jesus Christ was Almighty God, the Creator? There is no proof. Believe it or die. Where's the proof that God, manifest in the flesh, really was born of a virgin and really did rise from the dead and really is ascended to the right hand of the Father, and there really is a heaven? Where's the proof? There is none. Believe it or die. Where's the proof that those who reject Jesus Christ will burn forever in the lake of fire? There is no proof. Believe it or die. I can show you what the Bible says about God the Creator. I can show you what the Bible says about Jesus as God. I can show you what the Bible says about His death, His burial, His resurrection, His virgin birth, His ascension, and His second coming. I can show you what the Bible says about heaven and hell, but I cannot prove it to you. You got to believe it. And only after you have entered through the door of faith can you find the proof. The proof is on the inside. It's not on the outside. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you could stop every wrong thing that you were doing and never do it again, that would not please God. You say, well, then why do right? Well, we will get to that. If you could go back and undo every wrong thing that you'd ever done, that could not please God. If you found the best church with the best preacher and the best Bible and the best order of service and the best music, and you were baptized into that church in the best possible way and participated in the best activities and labored in the best ministries and accomplished the best things that anybody had ever accomplished, and you did it all in God's name, that could not please God. Now, you can look at me like I'm speaking a foreign tongue, but I'll read the verse again. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe. You say, preacher, hey, I used to drink a lot. I don't drink anymore. Well, I know people that who say, hey, they say Jesus is a fraud, and they've never been drunk a day in their life. Not drinking is not going to get you to heaven. Well, preacher, I don't do drugs. Well, I doubt that the devil does drugs. Preacher, I've been faithful to my husband. Preacher, I've been faithful to my wife. Well, I'm glad. That's good. So have a lot of Buddhists. So have a lot of Muslims. So have a lot of Hindus. So have a lot of Mormons and a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses. You cannot find from one end of this Bible to the other where God has ever been so impressed by the works of any sinful, puny human being that he just surrendered his holiness and allowed a sinner to enter into heaven through their merits, through their works. You can't find it in this Bible. Now, does God want us to live right? Sure He does. He loves us. He wants us happy. He wants us blessed. And right living brings blessing. Wrong living brings heartache and disappointment and despair. But you need to understand, right living won't get you to heaven, and wrong living won't get you to hell. You will go to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ, or you'll go to hell because you didn't put your faith in Jesus Christ. The only thing that pleases God is faith. All right, let's look at Ephesians now. Ephesians chapter 2. I know this is a simple message this morning, but I think sometimes we need these reminders, and it help us to remember these things when we're witnessing to people. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to show you something back up there in Ephesians 2 to verse number 4. And look what it says, Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. So anyone who picks up that Bible and reads it, reads, God loved us. Anyone who picks up their Bible and reads it, reads that God has been merciful to them. God so loved who? The world, that He gave His only begotten Son. God had mercy upon who? The world. He gave His only begotten Son. Verse number 5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I mean, it's mercy, verse 4, love, verse 4, grace, verse 5. Verse 7 says, riches of His grace. Verse number 8, for by grace are ye saved. If Salvation's by grace, and God is gracious. If salvation comes by love, and God is love. If salvation is offered through mercy, and God is merciful, then everybody's going to heaven. But that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." If you do not put your trust, if you do not believe on the God of all grace, if you do not place your confidence in the God of all mercy, if you do not receive from your heart, from your believing heart, the God who is love, His grace will not save you. His mercy will not save you. His love will not save you. The Bible does not say, "For by grace are ye saved." The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." For God so loved the world, here's what God did, that He gave His only begotten Son. There's what the Son did. That whosoever, who's that? That's whosoever, believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The greatest verse in all the Bible has, within its short, simple truth, it has your responsibility to believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And please God by putting your faith and your trust, your precious faith, by the way, in His precious Son. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. Don't you pity those who day in and day out pray this prayer and kneel this way and offer this offering and bow to this statue and crawl till their knees are bloody. Listen, I'm telling you right now, when it comes to religion, talking about religion, if religion is what it takes to get to heaven, I know Americans, they might as well give up on it. Because in Mexico, they crawl for miles on their knees up mountainsides to offer offerings to statues. In the Philippines, they beat themselves with whips and nail themselves to crosses. And here in the Middle East, they fast an entire month and bow down wherever they happen to be, out in public or whatever. You know, towards their holy Mecca, they offer their prayers. Now, I know a lot of saved, born-again people who would never get down on their knees on their job and pray to Jesus Christ. I'm told all the time, I'm at work and I'm looking for signatures. I need to talk to this officer or this other person, and I have to wait. I have to wait because, you know, I can't conduct my business until they're done praying. So what I'm saying is if it comes to religion, the competition is fierce as to who's done enough, who's done it long enough, who's good enough, right enough, straight enough, true enough, who's going to get in. If the Bible's true, nobody gets in but those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Your religion is not precious enough to exchange for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now look at verse 2. "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Listen, here's what your neighbors are counting on. And I hope none of you are counting on this, but this is what they're counting on. God is so good. God is so loving. God is so gracious that He would never send anybody to hell. I'm telling you something right now. God is so good. God is so loving. God is so gracious, He would never send anybody to hell. But Jesus said, I am the door. And if by faith you do not enter into the door, you cannot access the grace that will keep you out of hell. You cannot access the love that keeps you out of hell. You cannot access the mercy that keeps you out of hell. Justification, yes, it's a free gift of God, freely given by the grace of God. But you must come by faith to the place where God bestows that saving grace. God will save anybody, but they must come unto Him by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what our world is not counting on. They're counting on the goodness of God to save them, when the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God's goodness won't save you. God's goodness will show you that you need to be saved. Once God shows you that, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you will die in your sins. But I want you to see next, here in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore being justified. Well, glory to God. Right now, I am just. I am just in the eyes of God. I am clean in the eyes of God. I am righteous in the eyes of God. I'm pure in the eyes of God. I'm holy in the eyes of God. You say, how can you, Brother Bob, you? How can you claim all those things? I know you better than that. Well, you know what? We're not talking about what you know. We're not even talking about what I know. We're talking about what God knows. I am justified by faith because I have put my faith in Jesus Christ. I have peace with God. Now watch this. I'll show you something. Look at verse number 2. By whom also we have access by faith. Access by faith. How did you get in this building this morning? Through a door. That door, that doorway, granted you access into this building. Well, faith granted me access into the grace of God. But notice, watch how verse 1 compares. We have peace with God through, see that access? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Access to the grace of God. They're one and the same. Your point of access, the point through which you come, that's Jesus Christ. Now here's what's so sad. Are you saved? Well, yes, I'm saved. Do you know you're going to heaven? Yeah, I know I'm going to heaven. Well, how do you know you're going? Oh, I'm a Methodist. Oh, I'm a Baptist. Oh, I'm a Catholic. You know what's so frightening about those words? None of those religions are the way of access into the grace of God. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Are you going to heaven? Yeah, I'm going to heaven. Well, how do you know? Oh, I've been baptized. I was elected. I was foreordained. I was chosen. I've joined. Oh, I quit doing these things. Oh, I cleaned up. But you can search your Bible from one end to the other. None of those are the door into the grace of God. There's only one door, and that is Jesus Christ. is your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Are you trusting fully and completely in the finished work of the Lamb of God for the salvation of your soul? If you are, you are justified right now. If you are, you have peace right now. If you are with God right now. Hey, faith, it's a precious thing, isn't it? Precious. Philippians chapter 3 now. Philippians chapter number 3. Oh, I just think you ought to live a good life and be a good person. Well, so do I. So does your neighbor. So does your wife. So does your husband. But the point is, none of that goodness is going to bring you through the door of God's grace. You've got to get that. All right, Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. This is the Apostle Paul. He says this: though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. That's quite a statement there. Don't you think? The Bible writer, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, if there's any man, anybody, anywhere who thinks he's good enough to go to heaven based upon his religion, I'm better than he is. I've got more claim on heaven by way of religion than anybody else in the world. That's a pretty good statement, isn't it? I don't know a lot of people that could say that confidently like that. Years ago, Billy Graham and Jerry Falwell, they joined numerous other leaders of all varieties in saying that John Paul II is the greatest man of our century. And as far as men go, as far as religious men go, he might be right up there at the top 10. But if when he died, he was still trusting in the Black Madonna of Guadalupe, as he professed he was, and the Virgin of Fatima, if that's what he was trusting in to get him to heaven, then I want you to understand he died and went to hell without ever having been drunk, without ever having committed fornication, without ever having done any drugs. He went straight to hell. And he's as good a man as ever went there. Good man. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. That's why people like religion and not the Bible, because the Bible, yeah, it's insulting. It's insulting to self-righteous, self-confident specks of dust on this little earth. The Bible gives God the glory, all the glory, and gives man none of the glory. It says the best thing you can do is just trust God. Well, I'm going to try and do a lot of good things. They're no good. Well, then I'll do more good things. They're no good. Then I'll do every good thing. It's still no good. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, I more. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, very religious man. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Hey, I obeyed that law, the law of Moses. You want to try that? Some of us haven't even ever read the law. This guy said, every time I read it, I never find anything in there that convicts me. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Notice he didn't exchange the Hebrew religion for the Christian religion. He exchanged all his religion for Jesus Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Watch. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God. Watch. By faith. How do you get the righteousness that the best religion in the world cannot give you? You put your faith in Jesus Christ. When you put your precious faith in Jesus Christ, God gives His precious blood to your soul. And that's the only thing that's going to get you that blood. The only thing that can redeem your soul is the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way you can get that blood is to put your faith in Jesus. A man stands before the Lord and says, God, I did some good things. I ran a rescue mission. Not good enough. I was a preacher. Not good enough. I never did this. I never did that. Not good enough. You know that our churches are full of people who've got all of the negatives right. They don't do this, and they don't do that, and they don't hang out with those people, and they don't go to that place, and they don't use these words, and they don't make friends with people who do. They got all those negatives right. But you can't buy the blood of Jesus Christ with negatives. And then there's other people, they got all the positives right. I witness. I hand out tracts. I pray. I give. I go to church. They've got all the positives right, but all the positives cannot buy you the blood of Jesus Christ. God said there's only one thing precious enough to get this blood. Faith. Faith. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know why we're not occupied with politics? The right politics cannot get you this blood. You know why we're not wrapped up in social reform? A right society cannot get you this blood. Do you know why we're not wrapped up in environmental causes? Saving the earth, it won't get you this blood. We preach faith in Jesus Christ, the most valuable thing on this planet. Yes, it is. One more. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter number 5. You say, well, preacher, I still think you ought to live right. I still think you ought to do right. But if you think you've got to live right and do right to get to heaven, you're sadly mistaken. If you're saved, justified by faith in Jesus Christ, and you think you've got to live right and do right, well, of course you do. What else would you do? How else would you respond? But still, look, I'll show you. 1 John chapter 5, watch this, verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Watch. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know why a man, he can go to the jailhouse where he's separated from his friends, but he turns his life around, gets dried out or whatever, gets cleaned up, finishes his sentence, and goes right back out into the same old crowd, right back to those old habits, and before long, right back to the jailhouse again. Because he did everything in his power to overcome the world except put his faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we support Brother Bob Murphy in that jail ministry. That's the only thing that can turn someone around permanently is Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ. You know why some men have reformed and changed their life for the better, and they've done it so many times over and over again? Because they have tried their hardest to straighten up, to do right, and you cannot overcome the world in your effort, in your strength, in your own labor. You'll never whip that sin. You'll never beat that habit. You'll never change that outlook. You'll never break off from this. You'll never start doing that. Try as hard as you might, you are still you. But there is a victory that overcometh the world, and it is faith in Jesus Christ. See, people got this thing turned around. They say, I'm going to try real hard, and I'll get everything right, and then God will accept me. Well, the Bible says, if you will come to God through faith in Jesus Christ, not only will you have eternal life, but now you and God, you're working together to live right and to do right. Now you've got a chance to overcome the world because of your faith in Jesus Christ. But without faith in Jesus Christ, you don't stand a chance. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that again. You're going to do it again. But with faith in Jesus Christ, He can handle it. Trust Him. Trust Him. So the Bible says in 1 Peter that our faith is much more precious than gold. The Bible says in 1 Peter that Jesus' blood is much more precious than silver or gold. The Bible says in Psalm 49, if you had all the riches in the world, they could not buy your precious soul. So here's the exchange. The blood of Jesus Christ, the soul-saving, life-changing, sin-cleansing blood of Jesus Christ is offered by God, the grace of God, the God of grace, the God of mercy, the God of love. It's offered by God to anyone that will take it on God's terms. His terms are faith. If you will believe from your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord who died and was buried, and God raised Him from the dead, if you believe that He and He alone can save your soul from hellfire, God will exchange His precious blood for your faith. Watch. By grace are ye saved through faith. Faith is the means of exchange. The exchange rate in the banks of heaven is faith. That's what God trades on. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Being justified, we have peace with God through faith. The righteousness of God, which is by faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You say, well, preacher, that's just easy believism. No, not for proud, conceited, haughty men and women. admit that God has to do it all? And nothing I've done is any good? Oh, no, preacher. It can't be that way. You see, that's true. You see how hard it is for people. God made it easy because of His grace. Man's the one that makes it hard because of his pride. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this reminder of the preciousness of our faith. Thank You for showing us, Lord, that there's nothing, no merits that we have, no good thing that we've done that can obtain the precious soul-saving blood of Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for providing Your precious blood to save us. And we thank You, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to exchange our faith for the blood of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.